to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for January 21st, 2024, the third Sunday after Epiphany, by the Reverend John Muhlendijk.
We've got a buzz, but I don't know where it's coming from. The organ? Is it you, Jim? It's you. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
All right. I hope you can hear over that. I'll try to speak. I'll stay up here and I'll try to speak loudly, okay? It's interesting if you notice how short the readings were today. Epistle was only 3 sentences and the gospel is only 5 sentences. That means either we get a short service or I get a chance to do a longer homily. So it's just, you know, it works out fine no matter how you look at it. This is actually one of my favorite stories. It hits me personally about fishing and becoming fishers of men. And I think over the years, the reason it hits me is because the story has deepened its different levels. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. As we teach this story to the younger kids, Pat, is she here? No, Pat's not here. But as we teach this story to younger kids, usually we start out with a little scissors and we cut little fish up, you know, and then you hang them up and then you know, fishers of men, and you just sing the little song. And they get the idea that we should be fishing. And a little bit later, when they get a little bit older, they think, oh, well, we should be fishing for people. Well, that's kind of funny. And then by the time you're a teenager, they go around with these little hooks in their mouth and say, yeah, we've caught one, you know. And then quite get what this whole thing is about. And I think as adults, we sometimes don't get what this whole thing is about either. We're fishing for people, and we have almost the concept right away that really if we catch somebody, we get them to go to church and we get them saved. And that's the whole message of this gospel. But really, it's much deeper than that. And it's much more personal to each of us as to what's going on. I find it interesting also that the epistle starts with, for the present form of this world is passing away. And if you've got preconceived notions about what this parable is about, let it pass away. Everything is passing away. It started back then, and it does today. As we get older, we can see that more clearly. In the parable, we ask, you know, what time is it? And it's now, the time is fulfilled now. Who comes at this time? Jesus comes. Where does he come from? Important piece. He comes from volunteers. Comes from God. Where does he go to? Galilee. Why Galilee? Why not Jerusalem? I mean, that's the big place. Why not Jerusalem? He goes to Galilee because Galilee is this little town way out in the middle of Podunk. It's probably farther than Romeo. And it's where the misfits live. I'm not saying the people from Romeo are misfits. I'm just trying to give an example of how far out it is. And in that town, people never felt accepted. And so in the gospel, when you have a reading and you hear the word Galilee, think to yourself, oh, this is about people who just didn't fit in. And then think to yourself, have I never fit in? Have I ever been in a place that I didn't fit in? Have I ever gone somewhere I didn't fit in? Have I been with people I haven't fit in? If you answer yes to that, then Galilee is your place. So Jesus is going to Galilee, to the place where you probably don't fit in. And what does Jesus come to do? Proclaim the good news. Ah, and the good news, be careful when you interpret that. What is the good news? That you're going to be a good person and you're going to get to heaven? Is that the good news? Not really. And it's not about winning or losing. It's not about my way or the highway, or about my politics or your politics, or becoming richer because you believe in Jesus. It isn't even about how you're going to get to heaven. The good news is that everything you believe in the world and life is now going to change. It's going to be different. It's going to be put back together the way it should be. Your assumptions are going to be thrown out the window. Marriage, buying, selling, all of that stuff in the epistle, it all goes out the window. To understand this good news, there's only one thing you need to do, and that's the word, and I'll say it, that puts the hair on the back of my neck up straight. You got to repent. Oh, man, here we are into that repent business again. What are we going to do about that? But repentance actually is not connected with the word sin. Repentance has a different meaning when you look at it. The church historically has made it sound the way that repentance is what's needed, and it's connected with sin. It was good for the church 800 years ago. If you were sinning, you were told you were sinning, and you had to keep coming back to the church in order to get forgiven, you'd fill the pews and you'd fill the coffers. So it worked good. But that's not the indication of repentance. Repentance, in fact, has been reconsidering. If you scratch that word, put a little X through it, and put reconsidering, you get the essence of what the Greek says. It's to reconsider. And so Jesus is telling the disciples to reconsider. In the gospel reading, we see Jesus walking along the shore of the Galilee, and he sees Simon and Andrew, his brother, and they're throwing the nets out and bringing them back in. And I imagine Jesus must have thought to himself, man, they do that day after day after day after day. Don't they want to do something else? Haven't they ever thought about something else? And so he says, they've got skills and abilities that haven't been used. So I'm going to get them to use those skills and abilities. And he says, put down the nets. Follow me. And then he calls out, and he calls to James and John. And they're actually repairing the nets. And he says, come, follow me. So I think they had a little fear and trepidation in doing this, because you can imagine everything you know is being thrown out the window. And you don't follow it because your mind says, oh, this is a logical thing to do. I'll just give up my whole career, my family, the place I've been, and I'll just go somewhere else and follow this man. It comes from a different place, and I'm saying this because of contemplative prayer. In contemplative prayer, and those who pray deeply, your intuition, your sense of where God is calling you comes from inside, not outside. It's not somebody else telling you what to do. And many of us today are staying, I think, in jobs and in situations we really want to get out of. It's like, well, if I just work another year, I can get another bit toward my retirement. I've only got 4 more years to go. I really hate this job, but I'm just eking it out going, you know, and just got to go a little bit further. And that's the kind of situation that the disciples were in when they were fishing, in a situation they couldn't get out of. It doesn't mean giving up everything that you are doing, but it does say, are you open to reconsidering your life and what's in there? It could be reconsidering, I need to do something for somebody else, like baking a mini little cupcake like somebody gave me this week, a little teeny cupcake. And that was a reconsidering of your life because you're adding something else or subtracting something else. And for other people who are fairly well-to-do, maybe you want to give up a part of your estate. An estate to here, that we'd do some great things with that if we had this estate money here. But it's reconsidering who you are and what your connection is with God. In the years since I've been here, and I'm saying since the years I'm going back, and relating a personal story, kind of a way God has worked, and I've seen this work in my life, is I didn't start out as a priest or a pastor. And most of you know that. I took a long, circuitous route. Early on, I was going to go into ministry, and it was this fall day that I remember where the leaves were bright, and I just had this sense of just deep inside me, you need to go into biology and chemistry instead. So why would I go in biology and chemistry? I mean, pastor's over here, biology and chemistry's over here, and all I got was the word wait. Okay, I'll wait. So actually, I went there, and I finished up with biology and chemistry. I then went on to dental school, became a dentist, and worked in Appalachia. And I also worked in Guatemala, doing a lot of oral surgery. And came back and did a master's degree in public health. So it was more of this connecting. And then while I was in public health, I said, this really isn't the spot I need to be. It looks okay, but it's really not where I need to go. So I went back to medical school. And I said, I can't do 4 years of medical school. And as I was doing it, God says, you need to reconsider. They just changed the program. You're not going to do three. You're going to do 3 years instead of four. I said, oh, I think I can just squeeze out 3 years, but I can't do four. And then, of course, I asked the dean what part of the 3 years we didn't have to do. He says, you're going to do all of it, but you're going to do it really, really fast. So I don't think I won on that one. And as the years went on, I finished medical school, and I ended up going into anesthesiology. Not something that was my first choice. I was going to oral surgery and reconstructive surgery at the University of Michigan. But again, I had this feeling, you need to wait. So I waited into anesthesia, and I ended up being there almost 13 years. And a lot happened during that time. At the end of 13 years, things were getting bad, and you know how bad the medical system is, and I'm going to say it as a physician, is that they really are just, you are on an assembly line. You got so many minutes, and I remember the days when the doc would sit there and would talk to you for a half hour. That's gone because of this, because they want the bucks. So I felt unethical in what I was doing, so I quit. I just had one day that the inside said to me, quit, get out of there. I quit, and I waited 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, four, half a year. Year and a half went by, and finally I said, God, what am I going to do? This is one of those reconsideration times. And God says, what did you always want to do? I says, go back to seminary. So I headed out to Philadelphia and finished that up, which led me then back to here, back to Ecumenical Theological Center, and then to a parish in Ferndale, Michigan, where I served for another 13 years, and then did some integrative medicine at the same time. And I find God leading me all the time, but always into these places where I don't know where I'm going. I don't know about you, but it's God doesn't give you a clear path forward. The world would like to say, hey, start at point A, you'll finish up at point B, then you'll go to C. It's all mapped out for you. And that's not the way the Christian life works. It's basically going one way, and then God saying, reconsider, remember the fishermen. You know, they didn't know where they were going. They just threw the nets aside and just followed. And I'm encouraging you also in your life to find out the places where you might be stuck. The repetitive things that you've been doing. As we get older, we think, well, we haven't got that much longer, so why should I consider doing anything differently or adding anything on or subtracting something from my life? But you do it because God is still calling you. God is still loving you. God is still embracing you. And God has work for you and I to do. From the smallest cupcake to the biggest estate, He's got work for us to do. So on this day, I'm going to ask you to take a look at that story of the fishermen. And each time you hear it about going to Galilee, thinking about where your Galilee is and where you need to go. And And now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near now. Repent or reconsider and believe that there's more good news for you and me." Amen.